I'm really glad you're here this morning, and I hope that what we just want to do is ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, all of us. You know, God wants to talk to you and you and you and you and me. God wants to talk to us. So let's let him do that. Some quick words. As Steve, you were praying for Clayton. Clayton needs to tell us, it's very disappointing news for Clayton. And so I'd like, Clayton, why don't you just tell a very quick synopsis of what's up? Amen.
So that's right. I wasn't meant to go with that team, no matter how much it breaks my heart, because those people were family. But being prayer for my team still. They are still going overseas. They're still going to Philippines to share the gospel. So being in prayer for them, being in prayer that God shows me where he wants me to go. Because it's evident that he's got a plan for me, but
we trust him. Okay. We're praying for you to get better too. Okay. Two other things. We're kind of, again, a couple of announcements here. Out on the far side of the playground, there's a blue truck, club cab, with a toolbox on the back. And somebody accidentally bumped you. And so we don't know if there's any extra damage or anything, but they'd like to talk to you after the service. So whoever that is, we'll take care of that, okay? Your car is drivable. The third thing I would like to say is that we are blessed with our worship teams who lead us in worship. And they practice every week. They practice before we get here on Sunday morning. They're here early. Often they're here before I get here. And they're working. And we had nine people up here singing and leading with musical instruments and their voices. And our prayer is always that they'll be able to worship while they're leading us in worship. But I just want to say the church is made up of people with gifts, people with abilities, and we all share together. And I was really blessed this morning. So were you blessed? I was blessed. Yeah, it was good. All right. Yes, me too. Would you bow with me? Our Father, we are grateful. And God, you are alive. And God, I am asking that you would speak to me and speak to all of us as we look at the end of Ephesians chapter 6. These are powerful. Actually, they seem kind of common, the words that Paul is wrapping up this book with. But they are powerful words that echo some truth in Scripture that I need to hear, that we all need to hear very specifically. And so, God, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to speak to every individual heart. And Lord, that you would apply the truth however you would like to apply it. Father, one of my prayers constantly is that you would make Pioneer Bible Church and all of us who make up Pioneer Bible Church, make this place the most effective that we can be for the gospel of Christ, so that people are saved, so that we can grow deeper in our walk with you, so that we can have a confidence in Christ in a world that is really a mess and needs help, and scary place sometimes. So God, guide us as we look at your word. We thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Any of you guys have a favorite sports team? Yeah? Okay. So we got some favorite sports teams out there. And what makes your favorite sport? We can't get into too long of a dialogue now, okay? So if you're really a diehard sports fan, you might have lots to tell us. I just want a few words. What makes your sports team your favorite, and why do you think they're a good team? Anybody have just a quick little word? Okay, they win. That's good, okay. What makes a winning team? What are the elements that make a winning team? Yes, Janet.
They play as a team, not individually.
Very good. That's crucial.
Team effort.
Very good. Well, God has put us in a team. The question is, what makes us effective? What makes us effective? How do we win, so to speak, with the gospel? In the Bible, who did Adam have to make him strong? He did. And God said, I'm going to make a helper fit just for you, right? So Adam had it. Who did Moses have? Aaron, brother Aaron. Miriam, his sister. Who else did Moses have? Jethro, very important father-in-law who gave him terrific advice. Jethro. Who else did Moses have? Passing on the baton to Joshua. He had Joshua, his right-hand man. So many people along the way. Who did David have? King David. I'm sorry? Jonathan, his friend. Good, very. He had Nathan, a very insightful prophet who came alongside and didn't always tell him what he wanted to hear, did he? No, he told him the hard stuff as well as the encouraging stuff. Yeah. David had some people in his life. Who did Jesus have? He had 12 disciples. And not only that, but there was another group of disciples that followed him as well. But he had at least the 12 for faithful. He did. He had his mom and some other ladies named Mary who came alongside, and they were crucial in his ministry. Who did the Apostle Paul have? Barnabas, terrific. In fact, his word, his name means, you know, son of encouragement. Okay. Silas, Paul and Silas. Timothy. Yep. All these people. Who do you have?
You.
It's good. I like the fact that some of you are pointing to the people that are in your life. Who do you have?
We have you.
Okay. Didn't think of that. Yep. Yep, it's your spouse, your friends. I like that. Buckwheat, Mark and Dennis, that's good. You know, who do you have? Amen. We all have the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. So in this passage of Scripture, I would like for you to know that God has given us a mission. You know, Jane's glad that her team wins. God has put us on a mission to share the gospel with people. By the way, that's not only my mission. It's Rick's mission. It's Joyce's mission. It's Scott's. It's all of us. We have a mission. And in mission, God has given us a community. And he says the community is vital to you. And if you find yourself alone most of the time, you need community. You need the body of Christ. You need each other. We need spouses. If you're married, you need friends. You need people who are going to come alongside you and encourage you. There are times where we feel alone, and when you're alone, you feel a certain way. Sometimes you feel vulnerable. Sometimes you feel scared. Sometimes you feel isolated. Well, God made us to be in community. So I call this ready, set, go. The ready is really we're saved. Okay, we've been saved by Christ, by his blood. We're set because he has given us gifts and abilities. He's given us community. And then the challenge to go. Go and do what? Go and do the mission. We want to win. We want to be effective for the cause of Christ in this community. Doesn't mean that everybody we speak to about Jesus is going to be saved, but we are constantly sharing our faith, living our faith, asking the Holy Spirit to give us strength so we can walk in this faith. So we have mission that is in community. I would like again for you to think about who you have. And if you find yourself alone, believe God. Believe God that he wants you to have godly people around you. I think one of our brothers shared Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. And we say this verse a lot, but it says, don't forsake You're don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Today we've assembled together. Our worship team has led us in worship. Steve has led us in prayer. Your Sunday school teachers have led you in the scriptures. You've had conversations with each other. Don't forsake. And that is not just like a suggestion that the Bible's giving. He's saying, don't forsake. Don't stop getting together. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some people isolate themselves. But come together all the more as what? As you see the day approaching. As the day of Christ approaches, we desperately need each other. We don't. We not only need each other in the mission of the church and the gospel, but we need each other because we have crisis, and because we have sadness, and because we have grief, and because we need to be comforted. We need others to come alongside. And some of us feel very alone, or we feel very Lone Ranger-like, and we can handle it by ourselves. Let me just say to all of us, you're not doing a very good job in your Christian walk and effectiveness for Christ if you think you can do it alone. Because God made us to be in community. That's why he made Eve. That's why he gave Moses, Aaron, and Jethro, and the others along the way. Okay? So we're mission in community. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we've gone through a number of things, and there's this list. Five things to remember from Ephesians 6. The words just before the words we're going to read in Scripture. It's five things he said to you. You who are on a mission, you who are in community, do these things. Okay? So these are not just for Pastor Jim. These are not just for some people here, selected people. This is for everybody. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. That's number one. Don't forget that. You need the armor because there is an enemy, and the wiles of the devil, the deception of the devil is real. Put on the whole armor of God. Secondly, come to God with prayer, supplication in the Holy Spirit. He says for us to go to him in prayer. So whether you're young or whether you're older, you need to be doing these things in your walk with God. The third thing, pray that God will strengthen us to open our mouth boldly with the gospel. That was a very specific prayer that Paul was asking of the people to pray for him. I am applying that to all of us. God, give me boldness to live my faith. Give me boldness to share the gospel. The fourth thing, we are to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul, that was his call, but that's also our call. We are to make known the mystery of the gospel. Share your testimony with somebody. You know, there's times where you can open your mouth and just share what God is doing in your life. I was standing by Mark Etter in the food bank line one day, and he's bagging groceries. He's just bagging cans, and he's talking to this person standing next to him all about Jesus, like he was, you know, reading it right off the can label. I mean, he was just sharing his faith. And it was so exciting to me to just watch him sharing his faith, inviting him to church, and come on, you know, why don't you come to church? You know, just in a Mark kind of way. It was beautiful. You know, we are to make known the mystery of the gospel. How do you do that? How do you share your faith? Maybe you're gregarious. Maybe you're more quiet. Just ask God. God, give me ways to do this. And then the fifth thing is just a fact. We are ambassadors for Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. These are five things that need to remember that are in Ephesians chapter 6. We are ambassadors. What do ambassadors do? They take the news from the homeland and they share it. They take it into another place. Ambassadors for Christ. We're the reflection. We're who God chose to use us to share the gospel with others around the world. So this is kind of repeating. Again, we are the body of Christ. The life mission God called each of us to be part of is lived out within the body of Christ, his community of believers. Okay, next slide. We are to be faithful to the end. There's this battle charge and the troops who strengthen you. And so here's the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. Would you stand with me? Let's take a different posture for a minute and let me read these words from scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. And there's kind of an assumed word here in verse 19, and that's the word pray. He says, and for me, but it's pray for me, Paul is saying, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then he changes the tone. It's kind of like a challenge. And then he's going to talk about these faithful people in his community. Okay? And I'm going to spend some time there. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a well-beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. And then he changes themes a little bit again. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Father, please help us see the relevance again in our personal lives from the application of this scripture. Thank you for being here in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So what I'd like you to see in this passage of scripture and in some other ones that we're going to take a look at, I would like for you to see kind of the challenge, the charge, the mission, and then I'd like for you to see the community, okay? It's really simple. There's nothing difficult about this message. I want you to see the charge, the mission that we're on, and how we're surrounded by community. Because I don't think there's times we don't value the community as much as we should. The who we are, the person sitting right next to you, how important each person is in the body of Christ. So he says, pray for me. So when you just assume that, when you say, pray for me, what is that assuming? That there's going to be somebody who does what? There's going to be a friend. There's going to be somebody who prays for you. In this case, Paul needs a group of people or a person to pray for him. So Luke may say to Logan, pray for me. Right? Good. Pray for me, and then there's this challenge that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul specifically says, would you pray for me that I'll be bold in my faith to share the gospel with the people in my life? He's asking for prayer. And then he restates, for which I am an ambassador in chains. So where was Paul writing this book from? Right? We all know that. He was in prison. A very difficult circumstance for Paul. He was in prison for his faith. If you read through the book of Acts, all the way through the book of Acts, Paul, after he becomes saved in Rome, in Acts chapter 9, all the way along, he has these challenging interactions, and he ends up getting arrested, being in jail, and being taken from audience to audience, and every audience he goes to, he ends up sharing the gospel with the prison guards, with the, you know, whoever he's being judged by, he's sharing the gospel. But he is an ambassador in chains. He says that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then there's this scene where the community takes place. And I want you to see who Paul was surrounded by. He's got a faithful, trusted friend named Tychicus. And that friend is trusted, and there's some care going on. Paul says to the people in Ephesus, Tychicus will tell you about us. What does that indicate? I'm sorry? He trusts him to give an accurate, honest word about how they're doing. Trustworthiness is very important in our relationships together. He is faithful. Paul can trust him not only with his personal issues, but he can trust him with the word of God to faithfully honor the word of God. This is very simple, but I see a care in here. There's a care happening within the body. There is care in our body, and there should be. We should be caring about each other's affairs. caring about each other's needs. Paul is saying to the people that are praying for him, I'm going to send Tychicus, and he's going to tell you about our situations. And that assumes that the people who he's telling care about Paul. There is a genuine caring that goes on within the body of Christ. And frankly, I love that. I cherish it. That we are, it's not that we always do it right, and it's not that we don't offend somebody sometimes, but there is in our soul a care for one another. You know, when somebody goes in for surgery, we're concerned about it. Last time Raleigh went in for some surgery, I actually missed contacting him, and Keith told me how the surgery went. And there was a care that was going on. You see this in this interaction with Paul. He says, that you may know my affairs and how I am doing. It is sincere and significant that somebody comes up to you and says, how you doing, brother? You know, how are things going? What's happening in your life? And then taking the time to actually listen to them. And maybe you end up saying, hey, can I pray for you? Or just listen or whatever. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. And then in verse 22, this guy whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, that he may comfort your hearts. And so you see this faithfulness and this caring and this thoughtfulness. And then in that, there's a comfort. You know, I don't know what crisis you're going through. And maybe today you're a little bit more at peace, and tomorrow you're going to go through a crisis. But we are Christians on a mission, sharing the gospel in this world, and we are surrounded by community. It's mission in community. That's what we're called to. Just want you to see that. Verse 23, brethren, peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And those are not just words of, you know, just salutations like sincerely, Paul. He's saying, I know. I'm writing from prison, by the way, and I know that you need peace and that you need grace and that you need to know the love of God in your life while you're moving along. And you know what? You need to know that. Peace is valuable to you. Christ's peace is valuable to you. It says, peace, love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he finally finishes with, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. So here's what I recognize, very simplistic. On the next slide, Paul was not these things. Paul was not a lone ranger. It's good to know. Paul was not a loner. He was not independent. He was not self-reliant or self-sufficient. Are you? You know, in our day and age, we actually see it as a badge of honor. I don't need anybody. I can do it all myself. I don't need you. I'm afraid it is almost a mental illness. We need each other. Paul was not these things. We need to see that God, Paul, the scriptures value humility and sincerity and thoughtfulness and care, both on the receiving end and the giving end. We not only need to be receiving the care, but we need to be giving the care to others along the way. Now, Paul was strong. This isn't saying that we can't be strong. Paul was strong. Paul was confident. Paul was accurate. Paul was bold. But he was also needy and humble and submissive. So just want to highlight some things, qualities, and characteristics in the body of Christ that are really important for us. We need each other. So Paul was not a lone ranger, are you? And kind of going along, Jane, with your thought, oh, the tragic thinking, the falsity, the deception that we do not need one another. I tell you, I think that's a lie from the enemy for us to think, I don't need you. I can do this all by myself. You know, do you need any help today? No, I got it covered, thanks. You know, Now, maybe you do have it covered and it's fine, but maybe they could pray for you. Maybe they could help you. Maybe they come alongside. Maybe they have a resource that somebody could they could offer to you. I'm glad you're caring, though. Whenever you ask someone, do you need some help? That's caring. That's a good thing. So team is vital. Again, we are mission in community. I just want to tell you something. This is a simple list, and there could be many other lists. But I want to tell you that we have a food team. And on Friday, twice a month, we meet together in the little prayer room in here. And there's anywhere from 7 to 12, 14 people that gather together. And I love them. They're our team. And we talk about, and this team gathers, this community gathers, the people that are part of our food bank giveaway as often as they can. And we talk about the ministry that we're going into. We talk about the needs. We talk about the fact that a lot of people that come for food are not going to be believers. We pray for them. We talk about the people in the circle. And we ask each other if they need prayer. And we pray for each other. We lift up things that are concerns. And, you know, when I leave that room, I honestly feel totally supported. I feel like we've got a team. You know, I know what Lorna's going to do, and I know what Cindy's going to do, and I know what others are going to do. We all do our part. But we all know, too, that if something goes down, we can be there for each other. That food team is a terrific team. Now, it's beautiful, too, because we've got a couple of ladies from the community who aren't necessarily believers. And you know what? They're watching all of that take place. And now, after some time, they've begun to say, would you pray for me? You know? And they're listening to, and they're seeing the community of believers doing what they do. You know, the second group, we have a visitation team. It kind of has come and gone, but what a blessing to be able to go and visit in homes with a team, that team to pray together, be there for each other, give some confidence to each other. We've got this newly developed security team. You know, the first time we asked for security helpers, there must have been 20 people who came in and wanted to be part of caring for this flock. And that team of people have begun to grow a little tighter together. We have a mission, and actually it's you. I'm kind of there as a representative, you know, of the church and the things that are going on. But, you know, I tell the people, when I'm preaching, I can't watch. You know, I do see you, but I'm not really looking for trouble. Maybe I am. Yeah. I'm not looking for trouble, but the team of people, they're observing. And there is a feeling of blessing and safety that comes as these are people on a mission in community. And it's rich. You know, there's the ladies' seminar yesterday. I was just noticing how things were working there and this team of people that came together, this body that was learning together. And then our office, just to name one more, on Tuesday mornings we meet for a staff meeting. And it gets adjusted time-wise a little bit here and there, but we meet every Tuesday, Lord willing, and we meet from about 9:30 till about 11:30. And we talk, and we pray, and we talk about you. We talk about, you know, well, you know, Raleigh had surgery this week. You know, let's put Raleigh on the list, and somebody needs a card, and would you be sure that they get a card? And what's coming up? How can we make things work better in the church for the programs that are coming up? But when I leave that group, I know that I'm surrounded. And we do some affirming of each other. We pray for each other. We pray for you. We pray for many of you during that time every week. I don't know if everybody's here's name has come up, but we've prayed for many. Some ongoing, who have ongoing needs, we just keep praying for. But we are people on a mission in community, and God has given us a wonderful, wonderful community to work with. It's what we see in this last few verses of Ephesians chapter 6. So on the next slide, And we're just kind of heading toward the end here. But it's interesting. If you go to any the end of almost all the New Testament books, especially Paul's letters, what you have is this condition, this observation that I made, is Paul gives these charged words about our mission, right? And then he talks about all the people who are working with him on the mission. It's really pretty exciting, okay? So in Galatians, the last few words are, we boast in Christ. You know, we sing that song, I will make my boast in Christ alone, right? A song written out of those words. We boast in Christ. He says, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. He says, we are new creations in Christ. It's like the powerful mission statement. And then he goes on to talk about the faithful people that work with him in the gospel. It happens the same way in Ephesians. It happens the same way in Philippians. You know that verse, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And who gets all the glory? God gets the glory. And then he goes on to talk about the faithful people that have worked with him in the mission in community. Colossians, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it, Paul says to the Colossians. And then he names the faithful ones who have worked with him. It happens the same way in Timothy. And then in Hebrews, it happens in Hebrews. May God make you complete in every good work to do his will, what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. I wish I had time to go to the lists of people in every one of these and show you how Paul affirms the faithfulness and the trustworthiness of these people who have been with him along the way. That's what I appreciate about our teams around here, the trustworthiness and the faithfulness. The fact that you can count on people and that you're involved. And like Paul said, it's not just the mission, but it's your very life. You know, it's really a cool unity that God gives us. I look at Pat and I think all the years, you know, serving with Rob and then me as we came together, and there's this unity and this purpose, this faithfulness along the way. I only wanted to note one of these. In Colossians chapter 4 are Paul's final words. I'd like you to see the mission and the community in these final words. Paul says, greet the brethren. Why was that important to him? Why did Paul say, greet the brothers? Greet the faithful people that have been with us along the way. What's that? And you do. Good. Greet the brothers who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. Man, that guy was committed. The church that is where? In his house. Talk about sacrifice and commitment and investing. The church that's the home group that's where? In his house. The hospitality, the caring that's going on there. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see to it that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans. And I say to Archippus, here's what he says to this guy, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it, he says to him. Another faithful guy who comes along the way. And that's what I want us to be. Just not perfect, faithful, trusting in God, caring and trusting for each other. Paul then says, this salutation is with my own hand. Paul, he says, remember my chains, please. Please don't forget that I'm in jail. Keep praying for me. Sometimes when people get outside the flock, we kind of forget to pray for them. Paul says, please remember my chains. Grace be with all of you. In the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus' words, I don't want to skip Jesus' words, but I'm going to go through this slide pretty quickly. Jesus is leaving. The disciples are there, his community. He says, I'm ascending to heaven. Now I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out on a mission. But remember, you're in community. Okay? The next slide, Romans chapter 4. And these are words that just talk about our community again. It says, Romans 4, 12 verse 4, As for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Okay? So stop trying to be like somebody else. Stop trying to be somebody else. Let Steve be Steve and Dina be Dina. Let each one person be who they are because God has made us that way. It says all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are what? We're one body in Christ. So we appreciate each other and we applaud each other and we say thank you for being here. You know, I said to a person this morning who wasn't sure they were going to stay for this service, I want you here. I need you here. You are my brother, and I'd love for you to be here, to be part of this worship time together. I'm glad you're here. And we are individually members of one another, right? Not just members together, but members of one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says this, the manifestation or the showing of the Holy Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So when Kathy comes and talks to me, she's coming as an ambassador of the Holy Spirit, and she's telling me her needs or observations or concerns. The scripture says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And by the way, that's a really important line. We can't say or think, we don't need them. No, we need you. Every one of you, younger, older, everyone, we need you. It says, verse 20, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. And I wanted you to see those words. God has appointed you in the church. See, what happens when we remove ourselves from the church is there's a piece of the church missing. I don't notice when you're gone usually because I'm kind of looking at the crowd. I try to spot individuals, but I kind of think, well, I wonder where they were today. I wonder why they couldn't be here. And maybe you have crisis going on. Maybe you're visiting your kids in some other city, whoever, you know. Maybe your well broke and you're trying to fix your well, you know. It's really important that we're together. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see this mission and community. It says, and he, God, gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So God equips us with all these different gifts. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the what? For the work of ministry. So you're here with a purpose. So again, Dennis and Mark come early on Sunday morning before any of you are here. They check the place out. They look at all the rooms, be sure there's no intruders. This morning could have been a problem. And they check all the thermostats. And now Keith's checking them on the web. That's kind of a cool thing we got. And they make the coffee and they set out the goodies that Dee Dee has provided for us. They're doing this job. God has appointed each one of us in the church. That's just one little segment of things that they happen to do. So again, in Ephesians 4, it says that there's this equipping going on. That's kind of part of my job, is to equip us. Sunday school teachers, that's your job, to equip. You're equipping children, you're equipping adults. Equipping people for the work of ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of God, of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So, just a kind of a summary here. Community is hindered by these things. So community is hindered by these kinds of things. Independence hinders our community. Lack of trust hinders our community. Lack of integrity hinders our community. Lack of honesty, lack of care, and lack of involvement. Those are things that hinder our community, and we can't function as well. So, mission in community is these kind of things, are these kind of things. Community is complementary. Your gifts, my gifts, your gifts together, work together to complement one another. Community is unifying. Paul says that over and over again, that as we work together, community is a unifying thing. Community is strengthening. Community is interdependent. Community is encouraging. Community is of the faithful. Talking about people who are walking with Christ, and when a visitor comes in, we want them eventually to come into the community. We want to love them, care for them, reach out to them, share God's good love and God's word, the gospel with them, so they come into the community. Community opens the door of opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work through the body. Holy Spirit's at work all the time. But as we are living in community, we open the door for the Holy Spirit even to do more in the body of Christ. And community is God's design. It's the way God made us. So our call, we are on a mission. Our mission is in community, and the needed encouragement comes often from the community to each other. This next scripture, just look at the last line that I underline. You remember when Paul was incarcerated and he was being transferred on a ship? Remember, there was a bunch of trouble with the ship? And he finally gets to these different ports and so on. And he says, and then he gets to a place when they get to a harbor, and it's a town, and there are some believers there, and Paul needs a place to stay, and these people open up their house to him. Right? It says, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. When he saw the brothers, he saw the people who could help him, the brothers who could reach out, it was an encouragement to him. So, here's what we have. We have an incredible salvation. We have been honored to represent Jesus to a fallen world. We find our daily life full of challenges and roadblocks and difficulties. But God has designed a powerful way for us to have victory. He has given us mission and his community for strength to be faithful to the end. Give thanks. Honor God's community, and watch God work. So I just want to tell you, get to be part of the body of Christ, Pioneer Bible Church in Somerset, California. And I'm glad. I am glad that we are a team. And God has brought us together as people who are humbled before a mighty God, saved because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. We put our faith and trust in him. He has gifted us. He has filled us with his Spirit to be on a mission for him. I'm glad we get to do that together. So those people that are on the encouragement community team of the worship team, would you all come up? And we're going to sing a song together. So during this time, a part of community is supporting each other. And we support each other in this honesty and in this courage of asking each other to listen to our story or pray with us. And so there are a few people out here, and you may be one who'd like to do this too, who just like and feel called to pray for one another. And so we're kind of developing this prayer team. We will use the word intercessor, you know, this week. And if you have something you'd like to be someone to pray for you, pray with you, come alongside you during the song or during kind of the playing of the music after we're done, you come up here and there'll be three or four people here who'd like to pray with you. Okay? Let's stand. Father, I thank you that you have given us a mission and you've put us in community. Thank you that the Apostle Paul, who was winding up this letter to the Ephesians, gave us these powerful words. Pray for boldness, that I can proclaim the mystery of the gospel to people even though I'm chained up. And then he said, God, thank you for those faithful ones who have come alongside me my whole ministry. And Lord, we need each other. Lord, if there's anybody here who just needs someone to hear their story or to pray for them, give them the courage to speak up today so that we can come alongside. We worship you. We're going to worship you now with the singing of this song. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So glad you came. God bless you this week, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God, we thank you for the privilege that it is to be people in a community, people with a mission. Lord, we're going to try over the next few seasons to talk about, again, gifts and how we can be used in the body of Christ. And I just pray, Lord, that it would be clear enough that we'd be able to, if we're not sure where we fit and how we can be used in the body, that we might get some ideas and get some direction. Father, there are probably many unspoken needs here today, and I just thank you that you hear our hearts and that we can trust you. Help us to be vulnerable with one another and trustworthy to carry each other's concerns. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you.